Thuno Ray. I was in my early 20s when this terrible riots took place in Calcutta. I remember Jinnah coming to Calcutta 14th August, and he gave a very inflammatory speech which created a lot of problems. People were on the warpath when the meeting was over, and this, the cry of Akbar, the great, you know, this is Allah, Allahu Akbar, was all over Calcutta, and people went on a rampage. They started killing, as were the Muslims, and the Hindus were not far behind. They behaved as disgracefully, if I may say so. And it was all over, and there were a lot of murders, killings, burning of houses, throwing babies, which I've seen with my own eyes, on the second floor of a building, and killing them, spearing them. All this happened. But the two very big incidents I remember is I was personally responsible for saving quite a few Muslims. One was a cook who belonged to my grandfather's, Rajbandhu Chittaranjan Das, and he was very old, and he was staying in South Calcutta, where my residence is, and he was literally quaking with fear when there was this cry of Allahu Akbar and the attack started. Well, a cousin of mine and I put him in the boot of Studebaker car and drove him to Preschool Street, where it was relatively calm, it was Muslim dominated, and we put him down there. He was like a chicken cut, you know, he was sort of really in a bad state. But he escaped the thing. In fact, even the Sikhs, the taxi drivers and so on, were very, they all came to my grandmother's house where you're staying. And my grandmother was on top of the stairs and said, well, you kill him, but you kill me first. They went away because they listened to, they respected him. If you go to Calcutta, even in the Gurdwaras, you'll see the photograph of my grandfather, who was really responsible since Jallianwala Bagh, when he was the chairman of the investigating committee with Nehru as the secretary. And he brought back, I can't remember, but 120 or 200 families, Sikh families, to Calcutta, where he was the mayor at that time, gave them bus licenses, taxi licenses, and have rehabilitated them. So they were very kind to our family. But they were really out with their kripans and so on, because, you know, they were being attacked also. So that was one incident. The second was a friend of mine. I was in Presidency College, Calcutta, and he came from, like I did, originally my family comes from East Bengal. So he also came. I was great friends with him, really very close to him. And he was staying in Mayfair, and his house was attacked by a mob. And he telephoned me, and he said that I'm in great trouble. Here again, my cousin and I went there, picked him up again in the boot of the car. And while the mob was there, they didn't know what I was doing. And I drove up. They didn't know anything. They looked at the car. They said, okay. Again, I took him to Free School Street. And do you know, since then, 46, I did not meet him. And he went back to East Pakistan and joined the Foreign Service. And he became eventually the ambassador in the Philippines when the Bangladesh independence was declared. And he was the first ambassador abroad who declared it. And in 1971-72, when Bangladesh was formed, he had come to Delhi, and I had came to see my brother. And my brother rang me up. I was on tour from Calcutta here. And he said that you'd like to meet one of your friends. And I said, who? He said, so-and-so. So I went to the house, and he just got hold of me. I said, sorry, I just could not contact you, but I owe my life to you, which made me feel nice, but I felt bad that Bengalis, Calcutta people could behave like that.
When you were driving to pick up these people,
yes.
What did you see around you?
Oh, absolute mayhem all over. And this cry of Allahu Akbar is very frightening when people are sort of rampaging the place, you see. So this was another incident. And the third was, of course, very wonderful incident when Mahatma Gandhi went on a fast to death if these riots did not stop in Noakhali and Calcutta and so on. And my grandmother was very, very upset. And Nehru went to see her and said that, could you do something? She said, well, I left politics. My husband died in 1925. And why would they listen to me? He said, would you please try? So All India Radio brought their van and so on to her house. And she made a very simple statement. He appealed to the Bengal, to people of Bengal, saying that in Bengal we say that we don't let a dog die in our house. Will you let Mahatma Gandhi die in Bengal? It was so touching, emotionally so, that people came where Mahatma Gandhi was fasting. Surawardi was chief minister of Bengal. And he came, all this crowd came, lay their arms down. And that was the time that it turned. So this is the experience that I like to relate, which is very clear in my mind.
Did the rioting calm down after this?
Of course it did. I remember people, strangers, even if you were a stranger or anybody a stranger, a man, coming into our locality. He was stripped of his clothes to find out whether he was a Muslim. I remember this. And if he was not, he was slaughtered and thrown on the streets on the main road and Rasa Road. And we used to go, quite a lot of friends of mine, these bodies were just heaped. We put them in a lorry, took them to the burning heart in Kerathala. And we just don't know who they are, whether they could be Hindus, they could be Muslims. But this is how it happened. It was a ghastly experience.
Did you not fear for your own life?
Of course I did. I was very young. But, at that age, you feel I was very involved in the Quit India movement, 42, even though I was so young. And, yes, of course I was afraid. It's no use saying I was brave as well. At night, we used to keep a vigil in turns. The attacks were taking place and repellers. What did we have? Bamboo sticks and so on. But yes, I was scared. Scared for my family, I was scared for everybody.
When you stood on your rooftop in August 1946 in Calcutta, can you just tell me what Calcutta looked to you? Again, starting from I, so it's standing on my rooftop in Calcutta.
Well, I, Shantanu Ray. Well, I was sometimes. Burning all over the place, houses on fire, mob. Most of the thing was that shriek that rent the air was this Allahu Akbar. That was, I remember it very vividly. And that's what it was.
Were there fires?
There were fires all over the place. And the army came in, and the army, the Gurkhas I think mostly, sort of went, the Britishes. And they went in and pulled out anybody and tried to do this, that, the other, shot some of them. But that's the situation it was. And we ran, of course. We hid. Because we were not involved, but we were scared. Couldn't do anything. When the realization came that this was not it, I don't know how this division took place in Bengal. In the south of India, they haven't even seen a rat. They don't have that problem. They don't know. When I talk to my friends in the South, they say, what are you talking about? You know? So this is something, if I like Punjab, when Punjab, when people were, the truncation of the country took place, same thing happened there.
Do you have any pleasant memories from August 1946?
Yes, meeting people who were really devoted to the unity of the country.
Can you remember one specific happy incident from 1946, which you, again, I'm afraid, have to rephrase as personal memory?
Well, it's very difficult for me to recall.
Was it always the whole month was death and destruction?
That is right. That's what it was. So it's very difficult to remember nice moments. Only seeing people who were kind.
What do you...
Oh, yes, I remember. There was a...
I remember
in Calcutta, where...
In August 1946.
1946, when these riots were taking place. I know of Hindu families, and I also met a Muslim family. And they took in the Muslims, put them in the, what you call Barsati, say, we don't call them that, but you know, on the top, locked them up and saved their lives. Now that was nice, a Hindu doing that or a Muslim doing that to a Hindu. That was a pleasant memory you're talking about.
Fighting hard.
Looking at all this death and destruction around you, what were your feelings at that moment, and what did you think would be India's future then? Could you say, I, Shantanu Ray?
Well, as you know, my name is Shantanu Ray.
In
August 1946, in Calcutta, I was sad. I never thought that after Netaji's INA, and getting together. I remember General Saigal, who was a friend of mine, telling me that Sardar Patel asked him, when he was in the Red Fort for trial, asked him, tell me, what was the setup of the army, the INA? How many Muslims and how many Muslims? He said, sir, they were all Indians. And this was a feeling in India, please believe me. And it made me sad. I never thought the country could ever be divided, could ever be a problem. But politics has its own way. But I think the whole thing was so sad to me, you know, in my early 20s, to be suddenly find that what I've been working for, what we're praying for, just being destroyed in front of us. That's why.
What did you think?
I then thought that perhaps sanity will prevail eventually, but it did not. It got worse. I really thought, and you know, one of the optimists I was, that one of the optimists, that I think India should be a whole. Even today, I think so. But that is not possible. That is being unrealistic. But that is what. It's only sadness. That is all. I have no anger now. I have a lot of Pakistani friends. I have no anger.
But then, did you have anger then?
I had very great anger that this should have happened, that we should have permitted it, whether he was a Hindu or a Muslim. We Indians should have permitted it. That's what's the anger about.
And whenever anything of this scale happens in Tamil Nadu, it's always in a large...
What about the opposition to this? Because some people are saying, where does the money come from?
Well, yes, I mean, the opposition parties have said this is a vulgar show, a wasteful expenditure. Crores and crores of rupees have been spent on this.